Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, indeed, powered by the SID Media. Pastor Mwanahiba is already on the line. Good afternoon, Pastor.
Good afternoon, my brother. And how are you today?
Very well, thank you, Pastor. Cannot complain. I do hope that you're well.
I am well, and my apologies for yesterday's disturbance, but today I think we have stable connection.
Fantastic. Great to hear that, man. I hope that you've also had a good day.
I have had a wonderful day. Today apparently is one of those days the kids go just half day to school, and that allows us to pick them quickly and so we are really happy about that.
Fantastic, man. Fantastic. We're continuing to talk about our subject, generosity in a consumer-driven society. And our focus over the last couple of days has primarily been on giving materially. But we do know that we are blessed differently and that generosity goes beyond material and financial gifts. So today, we want to focus on different ways that we can give and also what God's expectations are from those who don't have much to give materially, that is. Now, Pastor, in what other ways can people give or show generosity besides monetarily or materially?
Okay, that's a very good question. To begin with, probably the question itself would almost assume that rich people don't need anything. You know, before I talk in general about what we can give, the question we must even begin to ask ourselves is, do rich people, people that are wealthy, people that have possessions, is there anything that they need? And the answer, the simple answer to that question is yes. You know, people right now pay, even as we go to work, most of us actually, what is happening there is an exchange. The employer is paying you for your time. The employer is paying you for your time, and you are getting from the employer the money that they have. So basically we are saying that, number one, I would say quality time. And when we talk about quality time, what we are saying is actually being present. So many of us, especially in our modern society, find ourselves in a situation where we are around, but we are absent. We are around our loved ones, but we are completely absent-minded. We are not present. You know, with our kids, they want to talk about their day. They want to talk about, you know, what excited them at school, the bullies they encountered. But you find that a lot of times we are weighed down by stress, and so we don't give them the adequate attention that they need. So I would say one of the things is quality time. The other thing I would say is, you know, service. Service, you know, there's no one who doesn't appreciate a helping hand. There's no one who doesn't appreciate a helping hand. We have so much on our plate. You know, you have work. Some people are working at the same time. They're in school. You have kids, you know, you may have a baby. And so just to have someone around who is able to help you with some of the other things, like the dishes, the garden, you know, to help you run errands. And these are, by the way, developed economies actually have found a loophole. They are able to actually exploit these things for money. You are running errands for someone who is busy.
Yes.
So they need to go to the mall, they need to go to, you know, get some groceries, they need to go and pay some bills to attend to this and the other. But, you know, if there was somebody who says, well, I don't have the money, I don't have the possessions, but I'm available just to run your errands. I'm available to do your chores, I'm available to wash your dishes, I'm available to take care of the yard. That is also very, very helpful. Maybe the last thing I would say, there are so many things actually, so many things. But the last one I would say is also just words of affirmation. And I'll talk about my wife. My wife
Yes, Pastor. Can you hear me now?
I can get you, my brother.
Lovely. I'm not sure what has happened there. So you were going to make an example about your wife?
Yes. I was saying my wife. And I always love the look on her face, you know, when I tell her, honey, you're looking beautiful today.
Mm.
You know, sometimes you act as if she didn't hear what I just said. And, you know, but you can tell the look on her face is priceless.
Mm-hmm.
Just soaking in that affirmation and the love and, you know. So I think just to name a few things, kind words, service, you know, chores, help around the house and, you know, quality time, just being present. I think these are things that we can do to help people without actually giving money or material things.
Mm. Lovely. Now, let's just move on a little bit with our discussion. I want to then check, in a consumer-driven world, where the aim is always to take, and take some more, how do we develop a culture of giving and giving and giving some more?
Yeah. First of all, what I want to say about that is it's not easy. And especially when we are not controlled by the spirit, we are controlled by the flesh. But what I should say before talking about the giving aspect is that the most miserable people in this world are people who are always taking. Yeah, because you find yourself in a place where your appetite for things, your appetite for gifts and favors is insatiable.
Mm-hmm.
It's insatiable. And so you find yourself always looking at what you don't have. And always looking at what you don't have can make somebody very miserable.
Mm.
By the way, I have come to believe, my brother.
Yes.
That there's no one in this whole world who has it all. There's no one. So choosing to be happy, actually, happiness is a choice. You have to decide that, yes, I don't yet have, I'm not yet at the job which I would have wanted to have. I don't yet have, you know, the kids. I don't yet have the financial status that I am craving for or that I'm looking for. But I can choose to be happy. I can choose to be content in spite of the things that I don't have. I can choose to focus on the blessings that I'm already given. So when we talk about an attitude of giving, I would say that firstly, having Christ as our central focus is the most important thing.
Yes.
There are many things that in the Bible we find the phrases suggest that it's about the overflow from us to others. The Bible says, you know, we love him because he first loved us. The Bible tells us to forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us.
Yes.
The Bible tells us, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved. So Jesus should be the focus. Jesus should be the focus. Jesus tells the disciples, like we discussed on Monday, he says to them, freely you have been given, so freely give. Freely give. And there we talked about, of course, the fact that when Jesus told the disciples, freely you have been given, freely give, he was not talking about material possessions or money. He was talking about the power that they had been given to heal the sick, the power that they had been given to drive away demons, you know. So there are things that actually, I would actually suggest that the most important things that we can give are not even material things. Yeah.
Yes.
The things that actually can change somebody's life. For example, we talk about helping somebody find their way to Jesus Christ. Evangelism.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, just finding somebody to sit down and share the love of Christ and to pray with that person.
Mm.
You find that it may go much, not it might actually, it will go further, it will go further than just saying, well, my brother, I want to give you 100 rands, or I want to give you 200 rands. So spending time with someone, praying for them, showing them the love of Jesus, that's even a greater gift than money or any possessions.
True. Very true. I agree with that 100%. Now, what role, Pastor, would gratitude play in developing a spirit of generosity?
I believe actually that's where it begins.
Mm.
Gratitude, actually, a grateful person is one who says, I have. What do I have? I have health. What do I have? I have a roof over my head. What do I have? I have the ability to walk. What do I have? I have family around me, you know, and the list goes on and on.
Mm.
Maybe on this one, if I can just read quickly one of my favorite scriptures, Luke chapter 7 is actually, and I'll summarize it, I'll summarize it. When we read verse 40 coming down, we find Jesus is in the house of Simon the Pharisee. And a woman comes in with a bottle, an alabaster jar of perfume, which was very expensive, and pours it at the feet of Jesus. All right?
Mm.
Now, this woman that, as we examine the text, it seems most likely this is Mary Magdalene. And she pours the gift at the feet of Jesus. And what motivates her to do that is because she realized that Jesus is the one who saved her. Jesus is the one who protected her. The day when she was about to be stoned to death, she would have died. And I think, you know, just realizing the many wonderful things that Jesus does for us on a daily basis. You know, the rain, the protection, the gift of family, the ability to breathe. Sometimes, you know, because we don't take time to visit the hospital, sometimes we don't realize how expensive it is to breathe. You know, when you've seen somebody in the ICU on the ventilator, struggling on an oxygen machine, then you realize that breathing, the ability to wake up, is a great blessing of God. And I believe once we have realized how much we have been gifted and how much we have been blessed by God, it then becomes for us now to show love to other people. Jesus actually is, you know, he ends as he's rebuking Simon in the house. He gives an example. Maybe let me just read verse 41. He says, there were two men who owed money to a money lender. One owed him 500 silver coins and the other one owed him 50. Neither of them could pay him back. So he canceled the debts of both of them. Which one then will love him more? All right. And Simon answered and said, I'm sure it is the one who was forgiven more. All right. But when we look at this in context, actually, what Jesus is actually saying is that when you talk about the gift of forgiveness, basically, when God forgave us, when he forgave the adulterer, when he forgave the thief, all of us were unable to pay our debts. And when we realize the love that has been bestowed upon us, then it becomes easier for us to transfer that or to be conduits of blessing to other people.
Mm. Beautiful. Now, I want to check, you know, something about God. Do you believe that God still expects generosity, you know, from those who don't have even much to give?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Actually, the Bible gives us a number of stories of people who gave from a place of, you know, would I say from a place of lack, for lack of a better term. One of those is the widow that ministered to Elijah. You know, God sends Elijah to the widow of Zarephath, who only had a little bit, a handful of flour and oil to bake for the what she thought would be the last meal to eat with herself and her son, and believed that she would die after that. But God, through Elijah the prophet, said, no, give me first, and after you have given me, then you can go ahead yourself. Another example I find is the widow who gave, you know, the two denarii. You know, She gave all that she had. After giving what she gave, she had completely nothing. But here's what really amazes me in that story. It's not only the fact that she gave while Jesus was watching, but the fact that Jesus did not stop her from giving. Knowing full well, because Jesus says, this woman has given all that she had. In other words, Jesus knew that this woman was poor. Jesus knew that the offering that she was bringing would completely empty her of all that she had. And yet, he did not stop her giving. He did not stop her giving.
Yeah.
And I think that was supposed to be, that is supposed to be a lesson to all of us that think we don't have, and that think, well, let me wait until my situation gets better for me to give. Let me wait until my salary increases, until I have a better job. Those stories in the Bible challenge us to give and to be generous. Maybe the last example actually I can think about, and I know time is running out, is the boy who brought, you know, the five loaves and the two fish.
Yes.
The five loaves and the two fish. You know, that was supposed to be his packed lunch that he was supposed to enjoy by himself. But we find him giving everything to the master. He surrendered everything to Jesus. And of course, we remember the story. Jesus multiplied, and through that gift was able to minister to so many people, 5,000 plus people that were there that day. And so I think those stories were placed in the Bible for us never to feel that we have an excuse not to give. Yeah, no matter how hard things are, no matter how little we have, we can always share. We can always give to the master. We can always give to our fellow human beings.
Man, very good. And I like the point that you're adding it, that we can always, always give to fellow human beings. Pastor, we're going to be connecting with you again tomorrow at the same time and same place. Thank you so, so much for your time. We will connect again at the same time tomorrow and the same place.
Thank you, my brother. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Have a blessed one.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.